Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Please be seated. I am not going to preach in the pulpit today because I need to be near Sarah and I need to be near you. Not everyone in the room today in this beautiful church has received the letter from Sarah because some of you are worshiping with us for the first time or not on our mailing list. But the letter that was received this week announced that Sarah is leaving us as rector and will be moving to North Carolina with her family to be with family, to be near Mike's mom who will eventually move in with them, and to be near Mike's cousins. Sarah has been a very significant part of this family. She is very gifted, very blessed, and has been listening and discerning God's will in her life and how best to live out love. And so this decision has been made, and it obviously was not easy because you know how much she cares for you. And here we are today, a family, many of you in shock, can't hardly believe that this is really happening, that at the end of January, Sarah will be flying, driving, however, to North Carolina. And so we have our feelings. I'm sure all of us are experiencing the initial feelings of grief and loss, disbelief. And in the midst of all that, we are here together today. Sarah and I last Sunday were really good actresses. We knew that last Sunday was our last normal Sunday. And we know that God knows that. And I know that God knows how you're feeling about all this. And so here we are. And in this gospel today, we have messages that are appropriate for what's going on. We have begun a period of change and transition. We are now today in a new normal. So what is God saying to us? This particular gospel is the last description of the last judgment. It's the only gospel that literally talks about the last final judgment of us. And in this particular scene, there is judgment. So one of the first messages I would offer is, let's not judge how things are going to unfold. We really have begun a discernment process. We do not need to judge or run to conclusions or assume anything. God has this. That's another message in this gospel. In this gospel, Jesus is saying to us that God is with us. In fact, Jesus is saying, I want you to look in anyone's face and see the face of Jesus. I want you to see my face in anyone's face. So if you look around at the faces of St. Francis, you're looking at the face of Jesus Christ, who made that very clear in this gospel. Whatever you do, to the least, you're doing it to me or not doing it. You can ignore me, Jesus says, but you're ignoring God. So in this gospel, the basic message, which is the incarnational message, is that God became one of us and is in us. This gospel is the last, this day is the last Sunday of a church year. all this year, beginning with Advent in 2013, and here we are, November of 2014. And on this particular day, it's called Christ the King, the ultimate. We also hear in the first reading, Christ the Shepherd. And look at the description we have of how this shepherd cares, really cares for the sheep. And in Christ the King, that whole symbol is of power. That's what we need to embrace today. That this God who is with us and knows how we feel and think, what we're dealing with, and where we've come from, and where we are now, and where we are going, has it. God's power is the ultimate source of love. And that's what's going on in this gospel, this call to love. So the second or third message that I would point out to you is what is this notion that we are a church family? What is religion all about? Why do we come together? Well, we come together as Christians and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our focus when each Sunday we literally walk the gospel book into the center of who we are, and that is the center we need to focus on. That in the middle of who we are is Jesus Christ, the power. That's why, that is how we have religion. But if God is love, then religion is relationships. So the message of religion is relationships. How do we love one another? Now, in this particular gospel, we have all kinds of situations described to us. So, here we are today recognizing that Sarah's going to be leaving us at the end of January. That is a huge distraction. That is a major transition. Meanwhile, in God's family on earth, we will continue to have those who are naked or thirsty or oppressed or hungry or imprisoned or sick. Jesus is asking us to walk forward in faith one day at a time, looking into the face of one another, listening, trying to hear the needs of what is going on around us. So we go forward, and all of us always have more than one feeling going on within us. We're a whole amphitheater of emotion any given day. So we have the feelings of loss and grief, and I know because I've heard it, feelings of excitement for Sarah, that she gets to be with family, that Sam will have cousins to play with. So excitement is a part of one of these arena, one of these emotions within us right now, besides loss and grief. And God holds it all. There is a physicist named Teilhard de Chardin that said, if after harnessing the energy of the winds, we will have for the second time in history discovered fire. So the wind that moved in Sarah's heart for this decision is the same wind of the Spirit moving in this church, in each of us right now in this moment. It's a powerful wind. And in this particular gospel, Jesus is trying to give us a radical new order, that we don't ignore anyone, because the least is still and always will be Jesus. And Jesus has been, is, and always will be right here in this parish. All of us will come and go. Jesus will never, ever leave us. This is Jesus' church. We're here to serve the King of Kings. This is His church. And it's pretty awesome what this church has become. And all of us have our own little fire related to the big fire that is God's love here. All of us have something to offer and to contribute to this fire. And we get to fan the flame of that fire with the gifts that we've been given. And it's exciting. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, and he writes these letters because he can't be with these people that he loves, says to them, I pray that you really are blessed with a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so the eyes of your hearts are enlightened to know the hope that God has called you to. That's the message we hear today. That we are a people of hope because God gives us hope and calls us to go forward in hope. And the part of the gospel that will help us go forward in hope is that God, in this gospel, wants to save us from the self in us that is perry, that is messy, that is afraid, that is anxious. And God says, to whatever feelings of worry that you have, the way to deal with that, God says to us in this gospel, is to be other-centered. Look out. My people will always have needs, and I will always help you answer those needs, and I need you to be here. So no matter who of us comes and goes, God is the center of this parish and always will be. So I pray that God blesses each and every one of you with the grace and blessing that you personally most need. As you live out the rest of this day and this week and the next month and the next month, and we all do it together. And we pray this in the name and power of Jesus Christ, our center. Amen.